Ebenezer family and friends. It's so good to be back with you on this virtual platform. Isn't the Lord good? Just give him a hand clap of praise, or you can put amen in the chat, just to be able to connect one with another. Yes, you see the signal lights. I want you to think about throughout our world, the United States, if everybody decided we're not going to obey the signal lights anymore, we're not going to be obedient to them anymore. Yes, it would be mass chaos. And you know what? We're in a season of darkness where so many people are not listening to the voice of the Lord, but God wants us to be obedient to his voice. So we're going to talk about that a little later in renewing our mind. If you're here for the first time, we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being with us. And if you're here and you're not saved, you don't know who Jesus Christ is, I want you to know this is a great time to just ask him into your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead and says you will be saved. On our website, we have a lot of information there, and I encourage you to go there, and you'll have scriptures of encouragement. Our visitors can get more information about Ebenezer, and we thank you so much for your prayers. Also, we have a church app that we have been blessed with. We get notifications and we can stay connected with everything that's going on within the church family and also abroad. We've got a lot of community information that's there that has blessed people, and we encourage you to kind of check that out. We got so much on the website on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Mondays, Monday Manna, Tuesday, Noonday Bible Study. We've got Wednesday at 7 o'clock on our virtual platform where we're going through the book of Luke. And then on Thursdays at Ebenezer, we have our in-person service at 6 o'clock where we're going through the book of 1 John. And then on Sundays, of course, we've got our 8:45 in-person, 10:45 in-person, and yes, our 10 o'clock online. And the Lord has just been doing exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. We thank you for your giving, your support. God loves a cheerful giver that we can purpose in our heart. Ebenezer has been able to bless so many in our community and our church. We've had quite a few bereaved families also that we've been able to encourage through their time of loss. And it's all because of you. It's all because of the body of Christ connecting together and deciding to listen to the voice of the Lord and walk in him. Well, I am ready. I'm ready to get into the word today. And I want you to think about, what if we lived in a land of chaos where people didn't obey signal lights? I'm telling you, it is time to hear the voice of the Lord. So let's prepare ourselves as we get ready to get into the Word of God. See you soon.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm going to be reading Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Remind them to be subjects to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying that these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. May the Lord add a blessing to this word.
Amen. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. Darkness nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
As we get back into our topic, renew our mind, how we learn from the Lord today, I really want you to think about what you've been learning as we've been going through this series. And I pray and I believe that we have been growing closer to the Lord to really be transformed by the renewing of our mind, which gets us to our memory scriptures. So I want you to go with me to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. Remember, we've been reading it into our minds that it gets into our heart. I was in a Thursday Bible study the other day, and one of the members just quoted it out and used it in context to explain what was going on. I was just so blessed. I almost started crying just to hear the verse flow out of as we memorized it and not just got it in our mind, but it's gone down into our heart. So if you read it with me, so we can read it into our mind to get it into our heart and our spirit. Let's go. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Give yourself just clap or put amen. That's what we want, as we renew our mind, to be changed to God's likeness. Today we're going to a portion of Old Testament, the book of Kings, 1 Kings 17:2. 1 Kings 17:2. While you're getting yourself ready, and maybe we got note takers out there, let's go into a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your grace and mercy, allowing us to connect and to walk through your scriptures together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for technology in this season and time. As earlier, I introduced Jesus to those who don't know Christ, Lord, and I do the same right now. I pray for souls to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth, Lord, that someone today will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. What celebration is taking place in heaven because of that soul that was lost is now found. Now, Lord, as we approach this word, I ask you to move me out of the way, forgive me of my sins. And Holy Spirit, you are with us. I thank you for being our guide, our leader. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you, Lord. You're awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings chapter 17, in that second verse, it reads, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." That 1 Kings 17:2. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get away from here, turn eastward and hide by the brook." In the Hebrew, that's actually can be pronounced Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. I want to speak from a title today, Learning Through Obedience. Learning Through Obedience. As we get into this section of scripture, time frame is about 874 BC to around 853 BC, and we pick up this monumental prophet known as Elijah. Elijah has gone through much even to this point, but he is dealing with a legacy of kings. As you look through, you'll see bad king after bad king after bad king, especially after Solomon's rule. It just seemed like the country was just going crazy and in a mindset of disobedience against the God that led them a fire by night and a cloud by day. To tap this off, Ahab, a wicked king, marries Jezebel, which is wicked and brings in all kinds of idolatry into the kingdom. And Elijah is used during this time to pronounce judgment. Sadly, we're going to find out judgment when it's pronounced, it wasn't just upon Ahab and Jezebel, but it was amongst the entirety of Israel simply because they refused to hear the voice of the Lord. They refused to walk in God's ways, to be obedient to his voice. God sends this judgment through Elijah, and we're going to deal with the famine and subsequent drought. Now, as we're following Elijah, I think we're going to be here for two Sundays. We're going to go through the remainder of this chapter and just see how God can bless even in troubling times. There ought to be some hallelujahs. Yes, we're going to see how God can bless us even in troubling times as we renew our minds. Let's get into this section of scripture, 1 Kings 17:1. "And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Here's the first point. Have faith in God. Yes, have faith in God. Saints, we must renew our mind to get us to the point of truly resting our faith in the Lord, that we can say, Lord, increase our faith. Elijah has actually pronounced judgment, as we said earlier, on Ahab and Jezebel because of the issues of them not being obedient to the voice of the Lord. Elijah's name actually means Yah is El, or Jehovah is God. I love this because it lets us know that Elijah is willing to hear the voice of the Lord and to walk in that which he's hearing from God. He was a resident, as we look at that scripture, of Tishbe and Gilead across the Jordan. And notice this 1 Kings 17:1, that second part, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, he says, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. I'm talking about have faith in God as we're thinking about learning through obedience. How many of us are willing to renew our minds so much to the extent that we're willing to stand strong and trust the Lord and take him at his word? Even in times that it just doesn't seem like, it seems like maybe God is not hearing us, but we can have faith and just know, even though we don't feel it, that God is there and God fulfills his word. The world needs to hear Christians and saints standing up and standing on the word of God. They need to hear faithful prayers of obedience to God. They need to see us in our lives being transformed and our minds renewed in him. Henry T. Blackaby, in his book, Hearing God's Voice, he writes this: the willingness to obey every word from God is critical to hearing God speak. I want to read that to you again. I want you to meditate on that. The willingness to obey every word from God is critical to hearing God speak. Our challenge is that so many are deciding, you know what? I don't want to hear every word. I want to hear just pieces of what God has said, or being to the point of just obeying pieces of what he said. And so often in the 66 books of the scriptures, people have decided what they want to believe in. They've decided what they want to walk in. But I'm telling you, we need to learn through obedience. I want the world to hear what God is saying and to realize that he is King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. We've got to decide to stand in seasons and times like these. Notice 1 Kings 17:2. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Here's a second point, walking in the word. Walking in the word. This is critical as we are learning obedience to God. Elijah is learning to trust God by actually walking in God's mandates. Yeah, he's learning. He's learning faith. He's learning obedience by actually walking in that. Ahab and Jezebel are furious because of the judgment that's been pronounced, a famine and subsequent drought that's going to occur. Elijah, in essence, he is sent on vacation of a type for rejuvenation, because he's going to have to stand against Ahab and especially Jezebel soon. And God wants him strong for the fight, strong to be able to proclaim God's word. What is God preparing you in this season? Just say, he is preparing me. Just say it. If there's a quick typist out there, just say, he is preparing me. This is the process that I'm telling you, even in those good times that it seems like the enemy's not messing with us, it's just a preparation time so that when the enemy does come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. Elijah goes from Samaria to the brook of Cherith, east of the Jordan. The judgment of the famine, as said earlier, it's been pronounced, and now Elijah is commanded to stay in this other area, not to stay where the famine is taking place per se, where the judgment was pronounced, but he's got to go out into a kind of wilderness area. This is going to be important. Saints, I want to bring this out. I believe that there is a famine and drought in our land now. And I know hurricane and a lot of water has come in. You're like, Pastor, there is not a drought. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually, that there is a famine and drought. Where will the Lord send you? Can you put in the chat, you, Y-O-U? Where will he send you? It's very important to note, God has a calling on all of our lives. The only remedy for the drought and famine that's in this world is Jesus. Can you just type Jesus? Somebody say Jesus. Jesus, that is the only remedy for the famine and drought. And in talking to the Samaritan woman, remember Christ, John 4:13, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus takes this thought to a spiritual climax as he's talking to the Jews. Listen to this, John 6:53. 3. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you." Isn't that heavy? He goes on. He doesn't stop there. I'm talking about learning through obedience. John 6:54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Can you imagine the crowd where they're going, they're taking it in? And even that, some think he's talking about cannibalism, but no, he's taking it to a spiritual high. We're talking about learning through obedience. And Elijah, actually, in this famine, in this drought, Jesus goes on, John 6:57, "And as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven." Can you just put bread, B-R-E-A-D, "that came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." I'm talking about learning through obedience. Now notice as this trek, as Elijah continues on, 1 Kings 17:4, "And it will be that you shall drink," somebody say drink, "from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." Wow. Here's another point. Supernatural provisions. Yes, supernatural provisions. God says within the scripture, I've got a brook of good water, in essence, that I'm going to take you to. And even while the famine is going on, even while the drought is going on, I'm going to make sure that you're satisfied. I'm going to make sure that you are taken care of. He goes on, he says, you know what? And I'm going to show you how I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to fly in your food via the birds, specifically ravens, which is an interesting point, because in Leviticus 11:15, we find out that these are actually unclean birds. But I'm telling you, God is able to use whomever he wants to use. He's able to use any animal that he wants to use, because he is in control. God is able to turn the ravens into a delivery service, a Uber Eats. Yes, he's able to do this. It's amazing when I think about how powerful our God is. Philippians 4:19, somebody need to shout right now, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I'm talking about learning through obedience. Jesus taught in Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barn, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Matthew 6:27, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." I'm talking about learning through obedience. If God did it for Elijah, he'll do it for you. Matthew 6:30, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry." Somebody say, "I don't have to worry," saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Please understand, Elijah is under pressure right now, but God is taking care of him. That the famine and the drought is upon the land, but God has him and God has us. We've got to learn through obedience. God put this on my heart. He said, when we renew our mind through obedience, we learn that God provides in supernatural ways. Isn't that good? Listen to this. When we renew our mind through obedience, we learn that God provides in supernatural ways. Are there any witnesses today? You're looking at your life and you're like, you know what? I'm living a supernatural life. I'm in places that I wasn't supposed to be. I'm doing things that I wasn't supposed to do. And it's all because of a powerful supernatural God that wants us to learn by renewing our mind and learn through obedience. I'm talking about God is faithful. 1 Kings 17:5. "So we went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Here's the point. Go. Yes, go. With all this that we've learned, learning through obedience, we have to walk on that which we've learned. We've got to go. I believe there are a lot of people that have faith. I really do. I think they we have a measure of faith. That faith grows. I believe a lot of people have faith, but the issue is, will they walk in what God has told them, or will they be determined by what other people are saying and what other people are speaking into their lives? Notice in this scripture, 1 Kings 17:5 again. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Look at this second part. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith. Notice that went. When will you go? When will you decide to do what God has called you to do and ask God for his supernatural provisions? Because we are learning through obedience. We're renewing our mind. How much does God have for you and myself to do? But we've got to go. God wants us to learn and go and do exactly what he's called us to do. The Lord spoke this into my heart. He says, so many are asking God for a ministry in their lives when he has already given them a calling. But they have chosen not to do it. Please hear me again. So many are asking God for a ministry in their lives when he has already given them a calling, but they have chosen not to do it. Yes, so often we want to do other things other than what God has called us to do it. But I'm telling you, we got to go and we've got to embrace the calling that he's put upon our lives. God didn't provide Elijah with a big house or a fine car, but he did provide everything he needed by the brook. I'm telling you, there ought to be some praises right now that in spite of what you're going through, hadn't God been good? Hadn't been a great provider? He wants us to learn through obedience. Jesus gave us all a calling in Matthew 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. 1 Kings 17:6. The ravens brought him bread and meat. Can you put in the chat? Because I want you to get this. Say bread and meat. Yes, bread and meat. Bread would have been enough. But when you serve a God like we serve him, we learn through obedience. God, he will bless you. Bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Here's the point. He has the whole world in his hands. Amen. He has the whole world in his hand. God knows how to take care of his children. Yes, he does. I find it interesting in Exodus 16:8, when Moses gave a word to the children of Israel. Look at this, Exodus 16:8. Also, Moses says, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning bread to the full. Can you put in the chat? I'm going to work it today. Put full. F-U-L-L. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. How is God feeding you? Yes, yes. I'm talking physically, and I'm also taking it up to a spiritual level. I want you to realize that God wants to do more than we can even take in. Yes, he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. This spiritual food that he wants to take us to, Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How much word are you getting from God? How much are we learning through obedience? God wants so much more for the children of God, especially in this season. The apostle Peter, he wrote something in 1 Peter 2:1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking as newborn babes. Look at this. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I love this. 1 Peter 2:3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I'm telling you, we need to learn through obedience. God is so faithful. Let me sum this up in 1 Kings 17:7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. I want to read this again because I want you to get this point that we're going for. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up. Can you just say dried up? My type is out there on the chat. Just say dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Here's the point. The journey continues. Yes, the journey continues. The brook we see in the scripture, it dries up. And God allows the brook to dry up because he realized if the brook didn't dry up, guess what? Elijah was going to stay right there. Who wouldn't? The ravens are feeding him in the morning and in the daytime. This whole process of bread and meat. If God didn't dry up the brook, he would have stayed right there. He said, you know what? I'm going to stay on vacation. And I want you to know that it's amazing how quickly we can become complacent. Yes, there ought to be some ounces out there. During our years of isolation with COVID, so many became complacent. They decided that God couldn't move during COVID time. They decided that God couldn't do supernatural things. And they were just kind of waiting in this period of time by the brook. And God was a wonderful provider. But I'm telling you, God still wants to use you and he still wants to use me. God wants us to realize that it's time for the journey to continue, that we've got to go forth and do what God is calling us to do. Yes, we had to stop during that period of time, but God was allowing our roots to grow deeper. I was talking to a person just the other day. They were talking about, they were concerned about these hurricanes that were coming through because they had some pine trees that were over in their neighbor's area. And every time a storm would come through, the pine tree, one of those pine trees would fall down. And I said, I had learned and read that the pine tree roots are different than other roots. They don't go as deep as they should or they could. They don't really have strong tap roots. And that's the same thing God is saying. In order to stand strong in the wind and in the storm, we got to have roots that go deep and spread out so that when the wind and the rain come against us, we can still be obedient and learn through that obedience of God's word by renewing our mind. Well, as we end here today, I want you to know Elijah is wonderfully used. We're going to come back and pick him up on next Sunday, but there's a better than Elijah. You know his name. His name is Jesus. Can you put in the chat, Jesus? His name is above all names. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He taught us what obedience was all about. Yes, let me show you. He came from heaven to earth to walk among men. Even at his baptism, God shows up in an amazing way to give us an example of learning through obedience. In Matthew 3:13, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But look at this, Matthew 3:15. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all rights. I'm talking about learning through obedience. Jesus said, we got to do this because this is the way the Father wanted to be done. And we're learning through obedience. And that will be an example to others that come after me. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Matthew 3:17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, learning through obedience. Don't you want to hear God say, well done? Don't you want to hear God say that he's excited about us being obedient to his voice? But please understand, the obedience to the Father took Jesus to the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands, nails in his feet. Can I just read you from Philippians 2:5 what happened on the cross? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. I'm talking about learning through obedience. Yes, he died on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but I want to let you know he got up on the third day with all power and glory. And I can go on to Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and at the every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm talking about learning through obedience. When we decide to renew our mind and say, God, I'm going to walk in you. I'm going to go where you tell me to go. I realize that you got the whole world in your hand. God can do supernatural things in your life. Are there any saints out there that say, use me, Lord, for your service? There's a song that comes to my mind. It says, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I encourage you, learn through obedience. God is training us up. There are so many people out there that need to hear the good news. They need to see Christ being manifested in our lives. They need to know that God is still in charge, that there is hope even in this dark season. They need to know that He is a provider for those who can trust Him. Saints, will you be used in this season? If you're here, as said before, and don't know Christ, man, would you ask Him into your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, says you will be saved. To the saints today, let's take up our marching orders. Let's renew our mind. Let's learn through obedience that God can use us in an amazing way. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this word. I thank You for using Elijah, even in the crazy times that he lived in with Ahab and Jezebel and other kings. Lord, thank You for supernatural power and supernatural provisions. Thank You for that learning process through obedience. Help us in our season and time to become more like You, God. Help us to renew our minds in You. Lord, we thank You for the calling that You put on our lives. Help us to go. Help us to walk in it. Help us to fulfill that which You've asked us to do. Lord, we just praise You and we magnify You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Change me, oh God. Make me more like You. Change me, oh God. Wash me through and through. Create in me a clean heart so that I may worship You. Change.
I just want to thank you for gathering with us in this virtual platform to have communion. I know many are still struggling after effects of COVID. I know some of your doctors have told you because of your immune system is so low to just kind of stay away from crowds. And we understand that. And that's why this communion is so important to get out to you and others. Some of you are in our in-person services and you just desire to be able to take this in the sanctity of your home. Maybe there's some family and friends that couldn't get to our in-person service. Guess what? You can do this right in your home. If you have our communion cups, great. If you don't, get you some bread and some juice right now and just prepare your hearts. As we get into the scripture, I want you to think about God's grace, because that's what it's all about. When we love the way God loves, agape, others. Yes, they do hurt our feelings at times. Yes, they do disappoint us at times. But guess what? God's forgiven us, so we have to forgive others. So if there's anything in your heart right now, I ask you just to let it go. And I'm going to ask Bianca just to open us up in prayer and go ahead and pray over the bread and juice so we can get in this scripture and we can take this Holy Communion and think about the goodness of the Lord. Bianca.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful gift of your Son who came from heaven to earth, who walked this earth and healed the sick and raised the dead, but ultimately who died on the cross for our sins, who gave his body and shed his blood that we might be called children of God. We praise you and thank you for his sacrifice, and we praise you and thank you for the bread that is representative of his body, and we praise you and thank you for the juice that is representative of his blood. Help us to take it in a worthy manner, Lord, and to remember the sacrifice of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles or you want to pull out that phone, I want you to focus in on a scripture that I often quote. We read together 1 Corinthians 11:23, which Paul the Apostle gets a revelation of, the levels of communion and how deep it is. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup," it goes on to say, "that you drink this in proclamation of his return." And then it skips a few and it goes down and it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body." We don't want that judgment. And that's why I said we've got to release. We've got to release that today if you have something, some ought within your heart. And know that God is faithful and so, so gracious. And so as we go into this communion today, we want to make sure our conscience are clear. And I want you to think about who Jesus is. Jesus, as he goes into that upper room, he's with his disciples that last Passover before his crucifixion, and he picks up the bread, he breaks it, and he said, "This represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as we eat, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together." He gets that goblet that was generally shared amongst them all. And he picks it up, and the redness there, he said, "This represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. As often as you drink it, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together." Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what we stand on, what Christ has done, his precious blood. I am so glad to be a child of God, and I know you are too. And can you just lift up your hands and say, "Lord, thank you for making me a child of the Most High God." As you go through your day, I want you to focus on the fact that God has a calling on our lives. He wants us to be obedient to his voice. And even taking this communion, it solidifies all the things that the Lord has already done for us. Well, until we can meet again, you be blessed.